哈利路亚，我们请翻开啊，以撒书三十章。
Hallelujah, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 30.
请看以赛亚书三十章旧约圣经八百三十九页。
The Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 30.
这一节是真神对以色列民所呼唤。
Here's a call of God to the people of Israel.
要归回到一个能够得救的状况。
He's calling his people back.To the salvation.
好，我们请看十五节。
Let's read verse 15.
主耶和华以色列的圣者曾如此说：你们得救在乎归回，在乎安息；你们得利在乎平静安稳。好，我们这一节圣经是我们经常诵读的，而且常常勉励彼此的一句话。
This is a verse that we read very often, and we encourage one another with this verse.
当然在得救在乎归回这安息这归回安息当中放个顿号那意思就是说你们得救在乎归回另外一句在乎安息
It says here, in returning and rest, you shall be saved.
这个从原文的希腊文或者希伯来文或者是英文我们都可以看到归回跟安息当中有一个连接词，那意思就是说这两句是平行的，归回跟安息是两句表达。
From the original version, the Hebrew text, you see the returning and rest, they are the same or similar.
原来神在先知书里头常常有呼唤民他的百姓回归到神跟他的律法这样的呼唤。
If you read the prophetic books, you notice that God often called out to His people.Telling them to return to him.
回归或者归回就是一个向着神的方向运转、移动的意思。
Returning means to move in the direction of God.
原来神给以色列民有一个契约的关系。
And God has established a covenant with the people of Israel.
意思就是说神跟百姓立约，因为神慈爱地拣选他们。
God established covenant with the people of Israel because he loved these people.
要训练他们成为顺服的君尊的祭司的国度。
He wanted to train them to become an obedient and a royal priesthood.
在神的带领下他们要成为圣洁的国民属神的子民。
Under the guidance of God, they shall be a holy nation belonging to God.
所以借着一连串的律法神要训练他们成为神要成为拣选民当中彰显神的荣耀
And with his laws he wanted the people of Israel to reveal his glory
然后成为外邦人的光把神的圣言交给外邦人
And to reveal and to be the people of Israel are to be the light of God
那么在神的立约当中神特别要求的就是我要祝福你的话有一个条件性就是你要守命爱神
Very often when God established covenant with Israel, there is often a condition attached, which is to love God.
神的祝福全部借在百姓是不是能够尽心尽性尽意地爱神跟守他的诫命。
The salvation of God depends wholly on whether the people of Israel would worship God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their might.
那历史的见证这番条件性的祝福就贯穿了整个旧约圣经的信息。
We see that this event is repeated throughout the Old Testament.
也在新约圣经，我们看到主耶稣的教训也是如此的强调。
And even in the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus also reflected this.
那先知以赛亚在百姓当中，他提出这样的信息，要百姓归回安息在百姓能够平静安稳来得到解决问题或得到神的救助。
Here the prophet Isaiah wanted the people of Israel to return to God to rest.
这个是原来有它的背景，因为历代以来真神的百姓多行不义背逆神。
There's a historical fact behind this that for ages the people of Israel had gone against God.
所以先知异人不断的呼唤他们应该回归归向真神。
And therefore, many prophets will often call out to people to return to true God.
来复兴他们的信仰。
In order to restore the faith.
那在以赛亚先知时代也是如此。
And this happens in the time of Isaiah.
我们要是看以赛亚先知所处的时代，是亚述威胁北朝以色列国，或者是转以后的部分，他们要从南朝被掳到巴比伦的这种回归当中来重新认识神。
We see that during the time of Israel, the Assyrians are attacking the northern kingdom Israel, or in the south, the Babylonians attacking Judah, and the prophets are calling out the people to return to God.
在神的眼中，这些百姓是悖逆的以色列家。
In the eyes of God, the house of Israel are turning against him.
按照神的公义，他们得接受处罚。
According to the judgment of God, they should be punished.
但是神的慈爱又要拯救他们。
But the compassion of God would save them.
所以他们遭遇到亡国被掳以后，他们要一番的痛切的反省。
Therefore, after the nations have been destroyed and they've been captured, they have to repent deeply.
然后他们要回归，就在回到爱神、守诫命这条路上来。
And they shall return, returning to God to love God.
那我们今天在读这一节圣经的时候，有历史的那个见解。
And when we read this verse, we are reading some of the historical facts.
因为我们从历史可以学习智慧。
From history, we can gain some wisdom.
但是要学习这句话，就是我们得救在乎回归和归回，我们又可以得到灵修很重要的课程。
But when we study this verse, in returning you shall be saved, you're also getting some important spiritual lessons.
因为归回到哪里，我们先问这个问题。
First, we should ask ourselves, where are we returning to?
对我们来说是归回到神，以神为中心的生活，信仰生活。
For us, we return to God to base our life on God.
归回到哪里？
Where are we returning to?
我们归回到问题的症结。
Return to the question.
我们归回到我们在哪儿有信心，或者是爱心失落的地方。
Return to the point we have lost our love and our faith.
归回到问题是说，归回到人跟人之间，神跟人之间问题的所在。
Returning to the problem where God and man dwell.
那假定我们找到这个症结了，问题所在了，我们就要找出解决的方案。
If we have found our problem, then we have to find a solution.
那这样我们就可以得救了。
This way we shall be saved.
当然得救狭义来讲就是最后的灵魂的得救。
To be saved could mean that your final soul will be saved.
广义来说问题的解决。
In a broader view,
得到神的帮助，神的救助等等。
To solve a problem, we receive the help of God.
那所以说我们要得到神的帮助，神的救治，或者得到我们灵魂救恩的完成，就需要在这条路上来认识神。
Hence, when we return to God, when our soul should be saved, we have to come to know God.
认识神的旨意跟他的作为。
We know the will of God and his work.
我们回到以神为中心的那个信仰。
We return to the faith where God is the center.
我们回到要解决问题那个方案。
We returned to the problem.
我们这么说的缘故就是原来在我们信仰跟人生上会遭遇到一连串的问题。
In our life and our faith, we'll face a series of problems.
可是有些人并不努力寻找解决的方案。
But not many would look for a solution.
因此失落的失落了。
Therefore, what is lost is lost.
有的问题不能解决，到头来还是在那儿。
Some problems that cannot be solved still exist.
因此以赛亚先知这句话就提醒我们在日常生活或者侍奉和灵修当中，我们要注意如何以神为中心。
Therefore, the prophet Isaiah reminded us how we should base our life on God.
万一我们有失措，我们如何的回归到神所喜悦的那一点。
In the event that we have fallen, we should know how to return to the point of God.
因此我们下午就来查考这个题目。
And therefore, this afternoon we are studying this topic.
记得我有个朋友，他从前在湛江教历史。
I have a friend who teach history in at 淡江 University.
那他在旧金山湾跟我同在一起的时候。
When he was with me at San Francisco Bay.
那有一天他说他年月来肚子很不舒服。
He says for a long period of time he had problems with his stomach.
然后他被送到医院去。
And he was sent to a hospital.
医生就给他开腹腔的手术。
The doctor had an operation on him.
结果一翻开，他的胃还是很健全的。
During the operation, the doctor found out that his stomach is still fine.
再把它缝回去。
And they sewed him back.
他那一场手术他一看就好像前后判若两人。
After that operation, he seemed to have changed.
头发都白了。
His hair had turned gray.
脸都苍，那就是这样的憔悴了。
His face was pale.
那这个手术在医术来讲叫 malpractice， 就是说不应该开刀而开刀的一个错误的做法。
This operation shouldn't have happened. It is a malpractice.
但是他并没有向法院或是律师来请求对这个医生来医院来控告。
Yet he did not sue the hospital, nor did he sue the surgeon.
那他肚子还是这样痛，整个肠胃还是痛的。
Still, he was feeling pain in his stomach.
其他医生也找不出什么就说有什么毛病来。
Other doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with him.
最后有一个好的医生才说是盲肠的问题。
Finally, a doctor says it is his appendix.
那经过这么的不需要的劳苦和不的苦楚，又经过这样的不必要的开刀，你看这一番的周折，最后才找到盲肠炎。
After some unnecessary procedures, the final diagnosis was appendicitis.
那结果他问题就得到解决了。
And his problems were solved.
这是小例子。
A minor example.
让我想到有一次我也跟朋友在一起。
This also made me thought. One time I was driving with a friend.
那个朋友技术开车技术蛮不错的。
The driving skill of my friend was excellent.
可是我们所开的车忽然停了。
But our car stopped.
那他就把那个车盖打开。
He opened up the hood.
这 clutch 他弄一弄。
And start figuring out the clutch.
火星塞他也看一下。
Look at the starter, the igniter.
那个 generator 的启动机，他也看一下。
He also took a look at the generator.
又趴到那床那个车底下，车底盘下也看一下。
He lie underneath the car and take a look around.
所有应该看的，能够活动的机械部分的电力方面的，他都看了。我们在那浪费了大概四五十分钟。
He had checked the car throughout thoroughly throughout.
那结果忽然发现。
And finally he realized.
汽油表的表到了 E 了，到那个没有油了。
It's the fuel gauge show that the fuel has gone. There's no more gas.
我们早就应该看这个里程表，这个汽油表才对啊。
I told him we should have looked at the gauge first.
费了九牛二虎的功夫，还是没有把车问题找出来。
And after spending so much time on checking up the car, we still haven't found out the problem.
天又黑又冷。
It was dark and cold.
真是冤枉受。
And we have done everything in vain.
我发现汽油的问题，我们就提着汽油桶到走了大概二十分钟。到了一个汽油站加油再走回来。
So when we found out we don't have gas, we took a gas tank and walked about 20 minutes to a gas station for some fuel.
这是开车不小心不注意的油表。
This is when you're driving and you do not take note of the gauge.
就是说在 check 车在查验车的时候不想到根本问题在哪。
Then when you're checking a car, you don't even know what the problem lies.
所以费了那么多的力气。
Therefore, you wasted so much of your time and energy.
问题还是最后看到油表的缺油啊，解决了。
And the final solution was looking at the gauge and found out you have no gas.
这两个生活的小细节在提醒一件事。
And these two minor events remind us.
人生遇到问题。
In our life, when we face problems.
你想解决吗？还是不想解决
？Would you want to solve it?
你要是想解决的话，你就应该正确的方法，正确的地点。
If you want a solution, you should look for the right way.
那你就会得到应该解决的那个途径。
Then you will find an appropriate way to find a solution.
否则的话，就汽车也好，人的病在那儿也好，都还留在这里。
Otherwise, the problem still exists.
或者说，你真的要解决，可不得其方，不得其门，还是没有办法解决的。
Or you couldn't find the right way of finding a solution.
那以赛亚先知就在提醒以色列民。
Here, the prophet Isaiah is reminding the people.
为什么他们国家本来是受神祝福的，神要带领他们祝福他们到底的。
Why is it that their nation used to be a blessed one?
却被外邦来欺压、侵略，甚至来灭绝。
Yet they were being destroyed by other nations.
原来这是以色列民的不是。
The problem lies in the people.
要是我们查考先知书所分析的，或提供的他们所犯罪。的主要的内容。
If we study the content of the prophetic books,
第一个是百姓在宗教上犯的罪。
First, we'll find that the people had gone against God in the religion.
他们离弃真神。
They departed from God.
崇拜偶像。
They worship idols.
随从外邦的恶俗。
They follow the evil traditions of other people.
玷污了圣殿。
They have ruined the temple.
干犯了宗教上的条例等等。
They have gone against the laws of God.
那么从另外一方面来看，他们在社会或者良心道德方面的。
And another point, the moral decline.
他们就是流无辜人的血。
They have shed innocent blood.
他们虚谎，诡诈。
They are wild and deceit.
那欺压。
And they lie.
社会上充满不公义。
They were injustice.
所以违反了真神要他们秉公行义的这种公义的原则。
And they have gone against the law that God wants them to be fair and just.
原来神在人间也要求人道主义。还跟良善的原则。
God wants people to practice humanity.
但是以色列家在宗教上亵渎了神，在良心道德律法上头也干犯了人应该有的人道主义跟神的良善原则。
But in the house of Israel, they have gone against God and gone against morality.
所以神就处罚他们。
And that is why God punished them.
那他们在受外敌欺压或者流放外国的时候，就很深刻的检讨他们自己。
While they were in exile, they have a deep self-examination.
比如说哀歌，耶利米哀歌所表达的。
And they were experiencing what was written in the book of Lamentations.
为什么这样的尊荣的这耶路撒冷城神立面的圣殿既然被焚烧被毁灭了。
Why would such a glorious city like Jerusalem be laid in ruins?
神的殿神的律法或者说围绕圣殿的崇拜生活都已经一一的消失了。
But the temple of God or the life around the temple of God, they have all vanished.
这是很大的打击的。
This is a great surprise to them.
所以在被掳放在流失 各国各方的时候他们找到这个问题的症结。
Well, they were in exile, they found out where the problem lies.
说我们干犯了神的律法。
They have gone against the law of God.
我们离弃了真神。
They have departed from the true God.
所以我们应该深深的考，就深深考量我们的行为，想省察我们自己。的信仰，然后再回归吧。
And therefore, they should examine themselves and examine their faith and return.
所以在经过一番痛切的悔改，他们决定回归。
After deep repentance, they decided to return.
那这也就是神也借着这个机会，让波斯王来下诏，说让你们被掳的百姓回到自己的故土，来重建圣殿，复兴信仰。
And for this reason, God allowed the Persian king to proclaim that the people of Israel are allowed to return home.
这是重建圣殿的一个缘起。
And this is the beginning of the rebuilding of Holy Temple.
但是我们现在所提的这个神要百姓得到问题的解决，问题要在他们归回到神，归回到解决的方法。
But we come back to a solution to a problem. The people must return to God.
我们知道这个回归的呼唤当中包含着神很慈爱的。那个神跟百姓很深刻的这种契约的关系。
And we see that when calling the people to return, there is the special relationship between God and His chosen one.
那这个耶利米书、以赛亚书，甚至在诗篇里头，我们都可以看到这个贯穿先知信息的这句话，说要回归到神，要 shub， 就是要回到神这边。
And in the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Psalms, we see that there's a common theme that the prophets are urging the people to return to God.
他们回到神的面前，就得到神的喜悦。
When they return to God, God will be pleased.
那么神就再次的施恩，因为神是守恩、施慈爱的神，再次的祝福他们。
And once again, God remembering His covenant would bless the people.
所以今天我们看到旧约圣经，可以得到很安慰的，就是说神因他的信实，因他的慈爱。接纳了那些回归的百姓们。
Today, when we read the Old Testament, we should be comforted because God has once again accepted His people.
那么从新约来看，神的呼声照样的向着教会、向着个人这样的呼唤着。
And when we read the New Testament, we can once again realize that God is also calling out to people.
我们来看几个例子。
Let's study some examples.
这个要从教会跟个人两方面来看。
We shall be studying this from church and from individual point of view.
从教会方面，我们来看启示录第二章。
For the church, let's study Revelation chapter 2.
新约圣经356页。启示录第二章。请看第四节。
Revelation chapter 2 verse 4.
这句话是跟对着以弗所教会说的。
This is a passage directed to the church in Ephesus.
就说在土耳其七个教会圣灵都有指示，那他提出个别的问题，也要他们教会那个处理跟更改这些问题。
The Holy Spirit had pointed out to the problems lies in the seven churches in Turkey.
那其中这以弗所的信息是这样子。
And this is a message to the church in Ephesus.
前面从第二节是对以弗所教会的赞誉，就说赞扬他们的信仰的功夫。
Verse 2 is a compliment of the faith of the Ephesian church.
维护真道的热忱。
And they have been zealous.
但是在第四节，圣灵却指责一件事。
But starting from verse 4, the Holy Spirit rebuked them.
我现在来看第四节。
Let's read verse 4.
然而有一件事情我要责备你，你就是把起初的爱心离弃了。第五节。
5.
所以应当回想你是从哪儿坠落的，并且要悔改，行起初所行的事。你若不悔改，我就临到你那儿，把你的灯台从原处挪去。这一件事责备的事是。以弗所教会把起初确实的爱心离弃了。
Here the Holy Spirit rebuked the Ephesus church, saying that they have abandoned the love they had at first.
我们考量大部分的教会。
When we study most of the churches,
当他们创立的当初，都表现于信望爱的功夫非常 结成深刻的。
We study the initial establishment of the church. We see that they are full of love and hope.
啊，是因为爱的关系，教会就成为吸引人啊的地点。
Because they have love, the church began to attract people.
因为神的爱充满。
Because God's love filled.
人的爱也灌盈着。
And humans' love will also.
人到这也可以享受到神恩人爱。
When people come to the church, they can enjoy the love of both humans and God.
爱的团体把基督的形象彰显出来。
This group of love have revealed the image of Christ.
主耶稣也叫我们要彼此相爱。
And Jesus told us to love one another.
雅各也叫我们要把爱心实践出来。
And James wanted us to practice our love.
这些都是很宝贵的教训。
All these are precious teachings.
但因为日子久了，有些事情我们会就懈怠下来。
But as time goes, we'll slowly loosen ourselves.
所以说。只是要在道理上、灵修上，我们要常常的提醒自己。
Therefore, we should often remind ourselves of spiritual foundation.
那这里是圣灵在责备以弗所教会。
Here, the Holy Spirit is reprimanding the church in Ephesus.
你有很多好处。
You have many good works.
有行为，有劳碌，有忍耐。
You work.
容纳不了假道。
You work, you toil, you have endurance, and you cannot bear evil men.
可是这件事倒要责备你。
But I have one thing against you.
要是你不希望你这祝福从你原处挪去的话，那你就要更正，要修改。
If you want your blessing to stay, then you have to repent.
就说你当初的那个爱心到哪儿
？Where is your initial love?
所以你应该回想在行起初所行的。
Therefore, you must remember where you have fallen.
这个不是一个典型的例子而已，就是说以爱心来做教会全体的反省课题。
And this is a classic example, and it tells us how the whole church should remember.
有些教会在传道或者说建立以后，他们表现的让人家可以赞美神。
In some churches, when they're first established, they have good work.
比如说奉献的精神。
For example, the spirit of offering.
奉献时间、心力与圣工，或者说个人布道方面。
Offering their time, their money, and their energy.
所以他们可以用极大的心力，把道理就向四处来介绍。
With great effort, they evangelize the gospel of Christ.
那因此，很多人就来相信主。
And hence, many come to believe.
这个在我们世界各地可以看到有这样的教会。
And this is very prominent in many areas of the church.
比如说，在欧洲有个教会。
For example, in Europe.
都是大部分是年轻人的，他们是邀约，就很多年轻人就在个别谈到，是进入他们家庭。来继续谈道理和布道，这些人是值得感谢神。
In one church, there are many youths who would spend time evangelizing to families.
还有很多教会，很多的主干人物，他们不辞辛苦地，除了正常的聚会外，他们很热心来推展圣工。
There are some other churches that a few prominent members would work hard for the Lord.
所以可以看到灵工的，就圣灵工作的活泼。
So we can see how lively the work of Holy Spirit.
这个就是我们的榜样。
These are examples for us.
那这些都是神所推荐说起初行的神喜悦的事。
And these are the things that God is pleased with.
那么我们就看到教会需要兴旺的话，就要行起初当初那种确实的信心跟行为。
We see that if a church needs to be prosperous, we need to show the initial of faith that we have shown.
这一点是让我们教会全体来当做一个需要努力的目标。
And this is a goal that everyone should strive for.
我们好的继续保持，还没有做到的，我们继续努力。
We should maintain what we have done well, and we have fallen in any aspect. We should work hard on it.
好，我们再看从个人方面来说。
And let's look at an individual point.
来看启示第三章。
Revelation chapter 3.
这是圣灵写信给的第七个教会，就是老底嘉教会。
Here, the Holy Spirit is writing to the third church, the church in Laodicea.
这个老底嘉的不冷不热的状况也可以在今天反映出来，因为在末期的教会，尤其已经开发了的国家的社会，应该提醒这一点。
And this is a special warning to the churches in civilized countries where they're in a state of neither hot nor cold.
英文有句话说 affluent societies, 就是说在物质比较昌盛的或比较方便的这个社会上社会的这个社团教会就应该注意这一点。
And in English, these countries are known as affluent society where the standard of living is very high, and the churches there should take note.
因为会趋向于老底嘉这种信仰的状态。
Because they seem to be straying towards the state of the church in Laodicea.
当然从外表看来这个信仰是有行为的了，因为有聚会 有崇拜，穿的茶巾，或者礼拜的的这些活动。
We can see the faith of a church by their church activities.
啊，但是神要看的是说，这个信仰的行为是真正出乎内心，而且有那种属灵的活力。
But God wants to see your activities, whether it comes out from your faith or whether it's lively.
而是每一个人在神的面前跟神有各级地跟神建立良好的关系。
And everyone should have a close relationship with God.
因此这种信仰就不是机械化的或者说世俗化的那种倾向。
And this faith has not become a routine.
啊，所以我们就要看看圣灵所责备的老底家是不是今天也重复于我们的生活上头来。
Let's see how the Spirit reprimanded the church in Laodicea and whether it applies to us today.
这里圣灵责备老底家不冷不热，好像温水一样。
The Holy Spirit says that they're neither cold nor hot, and they're like a lukewarm.
那更可怕的有一个误解。
What is worse?
这信徒有一个错误的观念。
The believers have a wrong concept in mind.
因为他们衡量，他们从世间的物质方面来做衡量的标准。
They began to measure people using a worldly measurement or standard.
当然，这种标准是不是神的标准。
And this is not the standard of God.
那他们怎么说呢？
What did they say?
启示3:17.
Verse 17.
你说我是富足，已经发了财，一样都不缺，神却说你是那么困苦、可怜、贫穷、瞎眼赤身的。18节。
18.
神就说：“我劝你向我买火炼的金子，叫你富足；又买白衣穿上，叫你赤身的羞耻不露出来；又买眼药擦你的眼睛，使你能够看见。”19节。
19.
凡我所疼爱的，我就责备管教他，所以你要发热心，也要悔改。请注意，热心悔改，这个是得问题解决的方案。
Here the solution is be zealous and repent.
从这几个字眼，我们可以看到一个落后的，或者说已经有危机的信仰。
Here we see there is some crisis in this faith.
虽然物质方面都是没有问题。
They may not be lacking anything in physical
world. 因为物质是充足富裕的。
Because they have more than enough.
就是从属灵眼睛看来。
But from the spiritual eye.
神却判定老底家的信徒们是有几个缺点。
From God's eyes, they see that the people in Laodicea lack something.
一个是属灵的贫穷、缺乏。
They're spiritually poor.
一个是属灵的瞎眼或者无知。
Next, they're spiritually blind or ignorant.
第三个属灵的羞辱。
Third, they're spiritual shame.
就是说贫穷是因为道理或信心的行为不够。
They're poor because they have insufficient faith.
因为他们只有外表的聚会、查经、做工的动作而已。
They only show that they have come to the church.
没有真正充充实实的对神或对神旨意的了解。
They do not have a thorough understanding of God or His teaching.
对神话语的规模还很缺欠。
And they still lack in the teachings of the words of God.
所以在神面前，他们是还是很贫穷的。
Ever to God, they're still poor.
或者是灵修方面还没有积累很多美德神所赞赏的那好的行为。
Oh, they have not gained any merit when they were cultivating themselves.
这方面还是贫穷的。
And hence they are poor.
那很厉害的就是瞎眼。
The next is their blindness.
在神眼光看来，对神的旨意茫然不知者。
From that of God, they are being blind to the will of God.
或对自己缺陷应该改进的地方还不能察觉的。
Oh, they haven't seen where they have fallen short of.
所以说，凡是不明白神的旨意跟神的作为，或者我们人应该努力的，我们茫然不知的时候，神看为瞎眼的人。
For those who do not know the will of God, the works of God, or don't know where our shortcomings are, we are blind.
那第三方面就不荣耀神的地方。
Third, they have not glorified God.
等于说，我们教会或者个人方面有亏欠神的羞辱的地方。
Oh, the church or individuals have fallen short of God.
那这样的话，就是等于赤身了。
This way, it seems like we are naked.
为了弥补这样的缺陷，所以圣灵就呼唤说要买火炼的金金，等于说试验的信心。
To overcome these shortcomings, we need to buy gold refined by fire, meaning faith.
经过熬炼的信心，对神旨意的非常的洞察，非常的掌握着。
After your faith has been refined, you would have a thorough understanding of God's will.
那就信仰上富足的人了。
And you shall be rich.
那在行为上能够配得其主。能够荣耀神，能够照益别人的，就等于把神的衣袍穿上了。
In your conduct, or in in your daily living, if you can glorify God, then you have put on white garments.
那圣灵的恩膏，我们自己学习，我们人格的明亮磊落，我们擦亮我们自己心眼，让神带领，让圣灵照亮我们眼睛，那我们的眼睛就明亮了。
If we anoint our eyes, then we can see where we are falling short of, and we know how we can improve ourselves.
啊，假定我们缺陷这些事情。
If we lack all these.
那我们就要回归。得回到神的要求那里。
Then we have to return to God.
发起热心，要悔改
and repent.
那么叩门，神就给我们开门，因为他看到我们就回头了。
If we knock, God will open the door.
啊，我们人生是在这几句圣经的照明之下，我们看到的确我们需要一个回归的过程。
We see that this Bible reflects us that we do need to return to God.
啊，有一个相当发达的一个律师。他住在一个小城里头。
There is a well-known lawyer living in a small town.
他有一个很好的家庭。
He has a family.
啊，美满的啊。
Sad or pessimistic.
他有时候自己在一个旁边就纳闷，或者说很不快乐，所以有时候影响他工作的程序那个效率。
Sometimes he would sulk or be unhappy, and that affected his work.
那他朋友跟他说：“你需要找我们镇里头一个很好的医生，他会给你说明出你为什么这样的压抑症。”
And the friend suggested to the lawyer to visit a doctor to find a solution.
那这个有心求进步的律师就说：“对的，我虽然通常帮助别人，有时候我也需要别人帮忙。那这位医生，我应该认识他，我来找他谈一谈。”
The lawyer said to himself that he had helped people, then now it's time for him to seek help, and he would go to a doctor.
那所以他就找这医生，那医生谈了他，问了他一些话。
He went to the doctor, and the doctor asked him some questions.
那医生跟他说：“我只有一个办法，给你开三个药方。”
Doctor says, I have only one solution, and I give you three prescriptions.
那你下个礼拜天你就放下一切，你开着车往海边走。
And next Sunday, put aside everything and drive a car to the beach.
那这个三个药方要在每隔三个小时，那小时来开的。
And you should take the prescription once every 3 hours.
第一个药方在六点开。
Prescription open at 6 o'clock.
所以你早晨早一点起来啊，就赶着往海边准时开这个第一个药方。
And when you the first thing you should do is get up early and drive to the beach to open this prescription.
果然照医生的吩咐，那一天五点多就到了海边了。
He followed the instruction of a doctor, went to the beach at 5 in the morning.
这时候天还黑着。
It was still dark.
那他听到鸟在叫了，在远处有鸡啼。他就说应该是六点了。
He heard the birds singing and a cock crowing, and he deemed that it was 6 o'clock.
那是把在这个信封打开。
He opened up the envelope.
他就说，他只有一个字眼。
There's only one word in it.
就说你注意看。
Look.
就 see 和 look 哈。你注意看。
See and look.
这什么意思呢
？What does this mean?
那最就是说注意看你的周遭，看你自己。
Look at your surrounding. Look at yourself.
那这个时候他睁着眼睛看着海平线的海上。
He looked towards the sea.
这时候太阳刚刚起来，就洒下第一道光线。
The sun was just rising, and that's the first ray
of sun. 波光粼粼下，他可以看到光跟影跟色泽。
He could see the sunlight, the colors.
还有就是这个日光就把这个树尖都染成了一个颜色。
And the color, the light of the sun had colored trees.
石头旁边也有牵牛花。
And besides the rocks and morning glories.
他就看到好像一个日本孩子。这个女孩子提着水桶，放在水井，一看也是水牛花、牵牛花。
She's like a Japanese girl taking a pail, going to a well to draw water, and saw the morning glories.
因为她读过日本的 haiku 俳句，有一个这个阿萨高瓦这样的一首诗。
He has read a Japanese haiku.
那她也看到她周遭原来这么美妙。
He's seen that his surroundings were such beautiful.
这么宁静。
So peace and tranquil.
她也看到为什么她在这儿。
And you can see why he was here.
他开始想了。
He began to think.
那等有三个钟头以后，他按着医生所说，打开第二信封。
And after 3 hours, he followed doctor's instructions.
医生写的字就说，你听，注意听。
What is in here there was listen.
难道我们没有听，没有看吗？
Do we normally not see or look or hear?
医生叫他仔细听。
Doctor wants him to listen attentively.
不是用普通耳朵听，是用内在的耳朵。
Not just to hear, but to listen with the inner heart.
那就是耳朵打开。
To really open up the.
因为一个忙于都市尘嚣反喧嚣的人们。
A person who has been living in a metropolitan area.
通常耳朵都被声音污染了。
Very often the ears are polluted with noises.
所以这个时候需要的是静下心来，用内耳来听。
At this time, you need to calm yourself down and listen.
他真的第一次听到松桃在风中，那个刷沙沙的作响。
He heard the pine trees, swaying in the wind.
也看到海浪拍岸啊，冲击的声音。
Oh, the waves, gushing towards the beach.
这个时候真的声音是这么有旋律，所以有天籁、地籁跟人籁，原来天地人都有声音的。
That there is indeed sounds of nature.
这是很美妙的声音。
That's a beautiful music.
这时候他央视 Beatles 音乐就在耳朵响起来了，北欧的一个作家。
He began to listen to to hear the music of a musician.
原来他以前听很多那美妙的旋律。
Yeah, he had heard many wonderful melodies.
从来没有这样的领略过。
But he had never appreciated.
在他内心里激荡着北欧那种荒凉、这浩瀚的这样的平原跟史诗的境界。
In fact, he was imagining the wilderness of the vast land of northern Europe.
少听到很多人美妙的劝解。
And he heard many of reminders
of people. 尤其他太太对他的劝告。
Especially the warnings his wife had given.
人家的金玉良言。
Some of the wonderful words and advice.
他知道了。
And
那他又在第十二、第三个，就十二个钟头拆开来。
And at 12 o'clock, you open a third envelope.
说，当发现你自己，你是信神的人，应该回归到神那里。
Look at yourself. You belong to God. You should return to God.
也许你忙碌了，忘记了神是你生活的重心。
Perhaps you've been too busy to realize that God is no longer your
center. 回归到神。
Return to
到你原有的信仰。
Return to your initial faith.
回归你原有的祷告生活。
Return to your life of prayer.
他找到答案了。
He found his answer.
所以经过这几个钟头在海边的独处，他发现自己。
After being in solitude at the beach for those few hours, he found himself.
难道他家庭不幸福吗？
Did he have a wonderful family?
难道他事业不顺利吗？
Did he have a good career?
为什么他失落自己？
Then why did he lose himself?
原来他失掉一个很重要的回归运动，就是归向神，归向他原有的那种信仰。
The reason was that he was lost. He didn't return.
所以他真正用眼睛看，耳朵听，真正发现他需要跟神建立很密切的关系。
When he looked and when he heard, he realized that he needed to regain his relationship with God.
他的忧郁症、压抑症得到解决了。
Finally, his illness is no longer present.
这就是人生一个很好的模范。
This is a good example.
因为我们会像这位律师一样，我们会迷失自己，以为我们在信仰当中过着安度的生活。
Like this lawyer, sometimes we even lose ourselves, even though we think that we're living a good life.
可是我们也许会从神的眼光看来，我也像老底嘉教会的信徒一样。
But in the eyes of God, you may be likened to the members in Church of Laodicea.
我们富足，可是在灵性上却很缺乏。
We may be prosperous, but in spiritual realm we are poor.
我们很饱学，可是我们在神的知识方面很缺少。
We may be highly educated, but in the spiritual realm,
我们以为很热心、很爱主、很爱心，可是，在神的丈量上，我们还是确实，还是有亏欠的。
We may think that we are well, but indeed we are not.
所以这个时候，一个最好的问题，一个解决方法。
So a good solution to this.
就是像这里说，发起热心，悔改，行起初当行的事。
A good solution is to be zealous and to repent and to go back to your initial stage.
我们要像那个浪子回头，主耶稣比喻里头所说的情节一样。
We should be likened to the prodigal son in one of the parables.
本来是属于富家里头的一个人，温暖的家里头一个人。
We initially were a member of this warm, nice family.
那他征求说，我要自己来独立，我要到外头做生意。
But the son wants to be an independent young man and wanted to do business.
意思就是说要独立自主。要离开神要离开他慈爱的父亲温暖的家。
He wanted to leave his family, leave his father to be independent.
结果我们可以看到他在外乡把资财浪费了。
We see that in a foreign place he had squandered away his money.
他再加上外地的饥荒里头的内在的亏欠，所以一无所有。
And at the very end he had nothing left because of a famine or because he spent his money.
他轮到最后呢，要沦落到为外邦人来放猪。
And finally, he had to look after the pigs for a foreigner.
根据利未记十一章七节，这个是一个禁忌的，你犹太人不能去摸不洁净的动物的。
According to the Leviticus, a Jew should never touch an unclean animal.
再根据犹太一个昆兰公社，像这类的很圣洁的要求的，放猪是一个可咒诅的行为。
And to look after pigs is a cursed job.
但是他屈尊。把自己是犹太人神的儿女的身份降低到比外邦人的不如。
He had to lower himself to to lower class than the foreigners.
而且呢，跟这猪来认同，他希望吃跟猪一样的 oink oink 来吃猪所吃的东西。
And even had to eat the food of the pigs.
啊，这个时候他已经到了最低潮了。
This is he is at the very bottom of the line.
假定不翻转的话，他就可能客死他乡了。
If he doesn't turn around, then he would probably die in a foreign land.
还好他自己反省。
And finally, he had a realization.
他醒悟过来，圣经就说他醒悟过来。
He realized.
他说我何苦在这个地方呢？我父亲不是有很多长工短工吗？
He said to himself, Why am I here? My father had many servants.
我要起来到我父亲那去认罪。
I must rise and go back to my father and repent.
所以他这样说，他就说我。该说我不配做你的儿子，我得罪天，就得罪神，也得罪父亲。
He says, I have sinned against heaven and sinned against his father. I'm no longer worthy to be called a son.
把我当作雇工罢了。
Please hire me as a servant.
他在这样醒悟当中有这样的决志。
When he came to himself, he was determined.
还好，那圣经又记着，就记着说他起来往他父亲家里去。
And the Bible says he rise and went back home.
有些人在痛苦当中，他会反省。会立志，可是他没有实际行动来跟随着。
Some people in times of affliction, they would realize themselves and return.
所以要问题解决，不是在思想间，在意志间说我要这样做，应该配合着有这样行动的勇气跟作为。
To solve a problem, you should not only be determined, but you should also carry out the action.
所以这个浪子能够回归，是因为他的立志、他的醒悟、他的立志、他的行动来归回到父亲。
This prodigal son decided to return because he was determined and he had realization to return home.
所以我们在安定的日子，我们也许不会像浪子一样的这样的受到这个交加啊艰迫的那个苦楚的状况。
In prosperous days, we may not suffer the same affliction like this prodigal son.
但是我们要预备这个日子。
But we should prepare ourselves for such a day.
就是说，我们应该培养自己在忧患的环境里头，来让我们信仰。跟生活来长进。
We should train ourselves so that our faith and our life would improve in such a time.
因为我们通常会在安舒的安乐椅的那个这个非常安舒日子会懈怠下来，魔鬼很容易攻击我们。
Very often we slack off in prosperous days that we're leaving ground for the sake of Satan.
那我们信仰也会在神面前慢慢地啊，不前进的话就会后退。
And our faith will also slack off if we do not improve ourselves.
所以要常常在忧患的意识当中，万一大难灾难在来头的时候怎么办？
So we should always be prepared just in case.
啊，就是要关心灵魂方面、圣功方面。
And we should pay more attention to our spirit, our soul.
在这几方面的长进。
Especially the improvement of our soul.
所以我们就要常常说，假定万一我的信仰稍微不让神来暂可的时候，我当怎么办？
Therefore, we should often say that in the event that that God is no longer pleased with our faith.
那我们就要下几道功夫了。
What should we do? And we
should really
work hard.
应该有尼西米和以斯拉的丹尼里这些人的祷告。
First, we should pray. We should pray like Nehemiah or Daniel.
我们单单来看尼西米他的祷告，就可以做一个榜样。
We can study an example Nehemiah has set for us.
尼西米他听到这耶路撒冷城的城门被烧毁，那他心里很作难，很忧伤。
When Nehemiah heard that the city of Jerusalem was burnt down, he was upset.
所以他就决定请求波斯王让他回国来修建城墙。
He beseeched the Persian king to allow him to return home to reconstruct the walls.
所以他就很坚定地依靠神。
He decided to rely on God.
而且他很祈求神，他在祷告当中这样吐露他的心声。
And he prayed to God for this.
他说第四节。
Verse 4.
我听见耶路撒冷城墙被拆毁，城门被火焚烧的时候，我坐下来哭泣，悲哀几日，在神的面前进食祈祷。那一下他就做切身之痛的祷告。
And he began to make a really fervent and deep prayer.
他也做了先知先觉的祷告。
He also made a realization prayer.
我们教会需要的是先知先觉者，因为大部分人都是不知不觉者。
We often need someone who realize fast.
不然的话，你做后知后觉者，加入这行的为圣工的祷告的行列。
Otherwise, you would not be a first person to realize anything is wrong.
先知先觉的祷告，神是愿意垂听的。
And God listens to those who realize fast.
那他同时也做自己责备自己悔罪的祷告。
At the same time, he would also rebuke himself and repent.
这也是犹太人的习惯，一人为万人的祷告。
This is a tradition of the Jews, one person pray on behalf of all.
就好像今天犹太教有十个男，有十个犹太男人，他就为全国祷告一样。
Just like today in Judaism, 10 men were praying for the whole nation.
那他以做首长的身份来为全民祷告，也在神面前承认我跟我父家的罪，虽然他们并不是真正的犯罪。
And Nehemiah would pray as if he's the leader of the people of Israel, and he's willing to carry the sins of all the people.
所以这种自责悔罪祷告，求神来赦免。
And this prayer of self-reprimanding
会让神来喜悦的。
Pleases God.
而且他更需要神的能力来祈求神来带领他所要做的工。
He also asks God for strength and and courage to do the work of God.
我们一个教会假定有几家人口，几家户口这样的为圣工有像以尼西米亚祷告的话，圣工会发展。
In this church, if we have some families with the same attitude as Nehemiah, then
因为神在垂听像这种先知先觉的为圣工切身祷告的人。
Then holy work will prosper because God listens to this kind of prayer.
就好像约伯为他的儿女们祷告一样。
Just like an example of Job praying for his children.
那尼西米他为耶路撒冷的重建，那城墙的重建的祷告。
Nehemiah will intercede on behalf of the construction of the wall of Jerusalem.
那我们有这样的像这种祷告的时候，我们就可以看到我们的心是永远向着神的方向。
If we pray like this, we know that our heart is always turned towards God.
因为我们像蛋一样的，虽然在异地，在外乡，这个心门或窗门打开，朝着耶路撒冷方向，朝着神来连接起来。
Because we'd be like Daniel, living in a foreign land, but our window is always turned towards God.
那我们这样做的话，我们再看应该像圣经所说的那些先知异人。他们为神的做工的那心态。
We should also study the attitudes of the prophets and the workers of God.
知道神在执掌和掌管人的脚步。
We know that God takes care of our footsteps.
就好像使徒们在传道时候求神带领。
Just like when the apostles, when they were evangelizing, God guided them.
圣灵差遣，圣灵来运行，圣灵在带领他们路程。
The Holy Spirit would send them. The Holy Spirit would be guiding them.
所以每到一个地方，他们顺着神的旨意来。执行神要他们做的宣道、牧养或其他的工作。
And when they come to a new place, they would seek the Holy Spirit to guide them, whether it's evangelizing or pastoring.
在个人、私人的生活当中，跟神也是连接在一起。
And their individual life is also connected to God.
那这样的话，哪怕说有一天会失足呢？因为他是保守在主里头的。
Because they are so safe and secure in the arms of God, they will never be afraid of having fallen.
但万一我们信心有冷淡的时刻。
But in the event that they have turned cold,
那我们就要记住说，这个潮水的最低处就是要转到高潮的时候了。
We must realize that at the very bottom, they have to turn up.
我们不能让自己这样跌落下去。
We should not let ourselves fall down.
那就是要像浪子一样的回头。
We should return like a prodigal son.
那神会接纳我们。
And God will accept us.
因此呢，我们要是有任何的问题，信仰上的或生活上的问题，
if we face any problems, whether or not faith
or life, 要找到那重心点，那个中心圆圈点在哪里。
We should find out where is the center of our life of faith.
我们生活中心就是神。
Our center of life.
神的律法就是神的话语。
Is God, His word, His law.
我们信心之所归向的地方。
And this is where our faith has turned to.
那假定我们跟神连接起来，我们就会像圆规一样的。神为中心，我们脚不管再怎么多远，我们绕着多大的范围，我们永远是跟着神连在一起，向着他的。
If we are connected to God and God is the center of life, then we would just be revolving around God. No matter how far away we have strayed, He will still be the center.
那万一我们有什么问题，神是我们的帮助。
If we face any problems, God will be our help.
我们这样依靠他，我们脚步会顺利。
If we rely on Him, we'll have wonderful footsteps.
那我们生活在他带领下，会过着灵性方面，在主里头的安宁。
And when He guided us, we'll be living in peace.
那我们会在平静中，在定静里头来明白他的话，来掌握住他所要我们做的这个神的带领的方向。
In this peaceful life, we will be able to understand His will and know where He is guiding us.
所以愿神祝福我们。我们从以赛亚这句话来学习，原来我们都要向着神，向着问题的解决方法来求神帮助我们到底。
And from this verse in Isaiah, we understand that we have to return to God to solve our problem.
我们唱诗146首。
Let's sing hymn 146.